Hey, everybody, it is Jeremy Roenick and Tim Peel, and it is time for Snipes and Stripes right here at nofilter.net. It is Wednesday. I am in Germany getting ready for my daughter's wedding, and you are in St. Louis getting ready for the conference final. And it's going to be one hell of a conference final. First, Tim Peel, how's your week going? You obviously watched that game the other night with Edmonton and Vancouver. Went just like we talked about, just exactly how we thought it would. We'll talk about that in a minute. But how are we doing, my friend? How's things?
Awesome, buddy. I'm awesome. How's Germany? How's the schnitzel? How's the beer? And more importantly, how's your daughter doing?
Everybody's great. You know, it was a long flight over. You know, we flew in from San Diego to Chicago, Chicago to Amsterdam, and then drove 2.5 hours into Germany. So it's been a long day, but it's always great to get say again.
Did you get in?
I got in about 10:30, 11 o'clock this morning, which was Amsterdam time, which is 7 hours ahead of you. So that was 4 a.m. your time.
Look good, buddy. You look good for literally no sleep.
It's the new me, Tim. It's the new me. I'm always ready, man. I'm prepared. I'm ready. I'm vibrant. I found out I lost 20 pounds, not 15. So I'm feeling good. So it's, again, I'm a little tired. Trust me, after this show, I'll be hitting the sack and going to sleep, getting ready for, unfortunately, my daughter, her future father-in-law that passed. We're going to have a funeral tomorrow for him and then the wedding on Saturday.
So was your daughter marrying a German?
Yes.
Person? Okay. So that's why the funeral is obviously over there, where they're from.
That is correct. Yeah.
We talked about it last week. It's just very sad. But your daughter and your son-in-law seem to be doing okay.
Everybody's well. They're obviously it's a lot of pressure putting on a wedding and a funeral all at the same time, but. There's no question we'll have fun. It will turn into a typical German wedding, lots of good music and lots of beer being flown around and lots of partying. So it's going to be a good time. But we'll have to thank our sponsors, my Whiskey in the Wild. Go to whiskeyinthewild.com for the best chocolate and chocolate orange whiskey of all time. And I know our Bet Online is one of our favorites, as well as one of your Safe Cigar, your neck guard company. So give us a little bit of a treat.
Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and the NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get to the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. Thank you, Bet Online, for being a sponsor all year. Also to my new neck guard company, Protected, the number one cut resistant neck guard on the market, approved through the National Hockey League. We're customizing for associations all across the US and Canada. So contact me and we'll take care of you. So yeah, game seven, I think you and I, you know, halfway through the game, they had six shots, Vancouver, right?
Six.
At the 11-minute mark of the second period, they had six shots on net. And without Brock Besser, with only getting six shots on net halfway through the game, obviously Stuart Skinner wasn't very tested. I think the better team Let me take that back. I think Vancouver is the better team as far as top to bottom. But obviously Edmonton's the better team when it comes to McDavid and Draisaitl. And in fairness to Vancouver, you weren't playing with Thatcher Demko, one of the Vezina finalists this year. You were playing with your third string backup. Rick Tocchet did an extraordinary job in Vancouver to get them to game seven of that playoffs. But at the end of the day, you're playing your third string goalie, Brock Besser's out, and McDavid and Draisaitl, even though I don't think McDavid had a point in game seven. But you know what? It's kudos to the Vancouver Canucks, buddy.
Yeah, they had a great season. And listen, for not making the playoffs in 13 years and then going to game seven of round two, that is definitely a big I think a big sigh of relief for the Vancouver fans and the Vancouver organization. There's a lot of good things coming up there in Vancouver. I was really disappointed, like extremely disappointed with Elias Pettersson. And I expect more from him in the playoffs. I mean, he hasn't scored a goal in like 2.5 months.
I know.
And these are the guys that you need to step up when you have a Brock Besser out of the lineup. And how unfortunate that he goes out with a blood clot. I mean, how old is Brock Besser? 28 years old, and he gets a blood clot. I mean, that is ridiculous. There's no rhyme or reason for something like that happening. But nobody stepped up for Vancouver. Nobody stepped to the plate. I know it was a closer game at the end of the game. They actually pulled in pretty close and made it a little interesting with the last 5 minutes. But the first half of the game, Vancouver had a 4-minute power play, and I don't think they even got it into the zone for more than 3 seconds before having to chase it 200 feet and come back again. It was one of the worst power plays I have seen in a long time. It's one of the reasons why Vancouver is not there anymore, is because their power play was so inefficient, especially the last two games.
I got to be honest. I'm not a big – I don't want to say I'm a big fan, but Elias Pettersson, I know he's a superstar, but he's very slight, obviously very skilled. When I look at him, I don't see him stepping up and putting the team on a – like when Marchand went down for Boston, Pastrnak took over. Pastrnak put that team on his shoulders. Maybe Elias Pettersson will grow into that type of player. Maybe it's unfair to criticize him at this point, but he got a big ticket, didn't he? Wasn't it like $11 million
or
something? Like, that's a lot of money, man.
Except
your deal, right? That's a lot of money to commit to a guy early in his career. We'll see if he can come through with that and be that super. I know in the regular season, listen, it's like the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's a different game. Regular season compared to the playoffs is a different animal, as you know. Less time and space, more physicality. So let's, you know what, without throwing him under the bus, let's see over the next couple of years if Elias Pettersson grows to that player that you can depend on in the playoffs, because certainly he didn't get it done this year.
Yeah, no, he didn't, and it's unfortunate. And again, starting the playoffs pretty much without their superstar goaltender. I mean, that's tough to come back from in itself mentally. I thought Vancouver played exceptionally hard, even not having Demko in, and Chilos played well. You can't take anything away from that, from their goaltender. He came out and played strong, but still, that's a tough thing to come into mentality wise, knowing that your number one goaltender, who probably will win the Norris Trophy, I mean the Vezina Trophy this year, is out. So, but kudos to them. Now it's the teams that we thought were going to be there: Edmonton, Rangers, Florida, Dallas. I mean, it's going to be one hell of a
teams. Yes, four good teams, buddy. Like
powerhouse,
right?
We talked about a little bit on Monday about the Rangers Florida series, which is going to be a barn burner. I I'm not really big on home ice advantage anymore in the playoffs, especially with how much parity there is in the league right now. But you have to give the home ice advantage to the Rangers right now, only because, like we said on Monday, they're going to have more fans in the building, both in Florida and in Madison Square Garden. So you would have to think you'd have to give the President's Trophy Cup winners the odds on favorite to win that series. But Florida is going to come out and bang them hard. They're going to play physical. I'm going to be really curious to see whether the forwards and the Rangers can play that knockdown physical drag out game that Florida might try to muscle them out on.
JR, before I give my thoughts on that series, you mentioned game seven and home ice advantage. This is for me looking from the outside in. When you were playing, for some reason, maybe I'm wrong, I felt like game seven home ice advantage was a lot more important back when you were playing than it is now. It doesn't seem to be as important. Am I correct there?
It's a great point. There's no question about it. It used to be bigger. I think we used to love playing in front of our own fans, getting, right, you know, and having that roar of the crowd, that little extra oomph of enthusiasm and adrenaline that you get from having your own fans there. We weren't worried about losing. We weren't worried about not playing well or what the fans thought of us. And I think that the parity obviously wasn't as even as it is nowadays. I don't know what the reason is for that. These home ice advantages now become irrelevant in the National Hockey League. Maybe it's the referees. Maybe the referees are doing everything different. You see what's going around social media right now. Everybody's yelling at the referees, NBA, NHL. I think you need to come back out of retirement, PLZ, and start whipping these people into shape and with the stripes on.
You know what? They were sending out tweets before the game 7 that had a picture of a ref in the Vancouver Canucks or the Edmonton Oilers dressing room saying, you know, they're getting ready for the game, but I'm like, quit blaming the refs. And then halfway through the game, I'm like, you guys have had 6 shots on net and you had a double minor. I don't want to hear anything about the refs tonight. Like,
that's awesome.
Right. But yeah, you're right. It doesn't seem to be we saw the Blues win in 19 on the road in Boston. We've seen it since where not a lot of teams really hoist the cup at home. So listen, my thought on this series, I think you banged it off. It's going to be a physical series on Florida's end. People ask me who's going to win. I go flip a coin. I don't know, except I am going to be, I can't wait to watch it tonight. And you'll be asleep because it'll be 2 a.m. your time. But it's going to be a great series. You've got two phenomenal goaltenders in Bobrovsky and Shesterkin. Both teams have good back ends and blue lines. Both teams have good power plays. Both teams have star power. You got Zibanejad, Kreider, Panarin. You've got Barkov. I forgot about Trocheck. Trocheck's having a phenomenal playoffs.
Trocheck's great.
And you got Barkov. You've got Verhaeghe. Kachuk. Kachuk. Like, you know what, man? This is going to be
I think Reinhardt. Reinhardt's flying. Verhaeghe's flying.
Sam Bennett will probably knock somebody out from the Rangers. Like, if I'm a Ranger, hey, if I'm a Ranger player, I'm watching every time Bennett's on the ice. And if I'm a Panther, I'm watching every time Trouba is on the ice. Because you know they are at you, and they're coming at you hard to hurt you.
Yeah, there's no question about it. But there's no question that Florida has the ability to play more of a smash mouth type of hockey than the Rangers. I don't know whether Panarin's going to want to play that type of game. I don't think Zibanejad's going to want to play that game. Kreider, I don't think he wants to play that type of game. But we'll see. We'll see how it pans out. Rangers defensively are very tough. Miller and obviously what you said, Trouba. They can bring it on the back end. But I think it's going to come down to goaltending. To me, in this series, again, Shesterkin, I think I give the edge to Shesterkin, even though Bobrovsky's has proved it a little bit more over the last couple of years, but two great coaches. You made that point on Monday, two great coaches that know what to do and players love playing for them. You know, it's going to be a crazy series. There's no question about it.
You know what? Alexis Lafreniere, I've got to give him a lot of props, JR.
Right. Yeah. That's a great play. He's had a hell of a year this year.
Going into this year, I'm like, is this guy a first round flop? Like, and it might have been even first overall, but he was obviously, I think he was top 3 or 4, but a first round pick by the Rangers. And I'm like, is this guy going to be a flop? But you know what? Good on him. He's grown into the player that I think the Rangers thought when they drafted him. You've got Adam Fox on defense along with Keandre Miller. We mentioned Trouba. This is going to be a heavyweight fight, buddy. Only fitting that it's at Madison Square Garden, because this is going to be one hell of a series, and I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, it definitely is. And Edmonton going into Dallas. Dallas is a they just keep doing exactly what they did all year, right? Just quietly, just pounding out wins. And, you know, they showed a lot of poise knocking out the Colorado Avalanche last week by winning a big game in Colorado. That's one thing you don't want to have to do is take Colorado to a game seven and give them that opportunity with all that firepower. And Dallas just shut the door on them. A big 2-1 win in Colorado when Colorado had all the momentum. So to me, that team is built of superpower up front. They have great defense. Obviously, their goaltender is really good. I think they outmatch Edmonton in every aspect of the game, with the exception, obviously, of McDavid and Draisaitl. But if McDavid is injured, he doesn't have too much time to get healed now after playing seven games. Nobody really knows if he is injured or whether it's what's ailing him. But he definitely doesn't have the jump that we've seen in the regular season.
No, you know what? You talk about Dallas's depth in that, and it really is remarkable, the job that Jim Neal. You know, I'm going to run down the players here. Robertson, Wyatt Johnson, Sagan, Ben, picked up Chris Tanev, which was probably the best
awesome.
Pick at the playoff trade deadline. Stanghoven, Pavelski, Duchesne, Marchment, Heskinen, Roope Hintz, Harley, Suter, Faska, like Dadvanov, like this is Lindell, like this is a deep, deep team, and we saw it in the first round when they lost the first two games in Dallas, and everybody was like, whoa, what just happened here? Vegas just took two in Dallas, and Dallas was like, yeah, no big deal. Well, and they're built for the road. They're built for home. This is a solid, solid hockey club, and once again, a good coach in Pete DeBoer. I mentioned on Monday, he's 8-0 in game sevens. He's got these guys prepared. This is a phenomenal Dallas team. If you said, listen, could Edmonton win the Stanley Cup? Absolutely, with McDavid and Draisaitl. But if you were to say out of Dallas, Florida, and the Rangers, who would you pick to win the Stanley Cup? I think I'd have to pick the Dallas Stars. I think they're the most complete team.
Yeah.
But I've also seen Ottinger shit the bed, JR.
Yeah.
He doesn't have that consistency that Bobrovsky has, that Shesterkin has. He kind of comes and goes sometimes. And that's my only concern with Dallas is if Ottinger doesn't bring his A game, then you might give the edge to Edmonton. But listen, another good series. The NHL's got to be extremely happy with the four teams that are in the conference finals, because you've got a team from Canada, you've got McDavid in it, Draisaitl, you've got the Rangers, you know, the biggest city in North America, then you've got Dallas, you've got a southern city in Florida. It's great for the NHL.
Yeah, it really is. And you know, you talk about Dallas. I mean, look at the leadership they have on that team. I mean, even though it's, you know, Sagan and Ben, they are the older guys, but they're playing good hockey. You got Joe Pavelski, who's playing some great hockey, and somebody that everybody respects. And they can play if you want to get into a run and gun track meet, Dallas can do it. If you want to get into a lockdown drag out brawl, low scoring game, Dallas can do it. So they have every aspect of the games in order to go long series. And when you can do that, those are teams that can win. And I kind of agree with you. I think Dallas has the best team right now, all around and mentally, Dallas Stars, because what you said, they lost two home games to Vegas, first round. You talk about a team that is, everybody was looking for serious Stanley Cup run, and Dallas loses the first two games to Vegas at home, and they bounce back, and now here they are in the conference final with home ice advantage again. So it's going to be really, really important for them to get off to a good start, because you don't want to drop down 2-0 to the two best players in the world, McDavid and Draisaitl.
No, you don't. And you know what? We mentioned it before, Jim Neal and the scouting staff there in Dallas have done a tremendous job, because they're trying to prepare that team for when Jamie Benn and Tyler Sagan are you know, they're not at the end of their careers, but they're on the back nine right now.
Yep.
And they're filling in pieces for when those guys retire with the Robertsons, the Marchments, the Wyatt Johnsons, these young kids, young studs. So I give him a lot of, I give that whole organization a lot of credit. It's going to be a great series. Let's talk about some other NHL stuff. You were traveling yesterday, but I'm sure you saw it. They announced Craig Berube is now the head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. They had a press conference in Toronto. Good on Chief. I think he got a 4x5.
Wow.
At $5 million.
He's making more money as a coach than he ever did playing the game. That's for sure. Right?
100% he is. He probably made $10 million or so coaching the Blues, and then he was with the Flyers, and now he just picked up $20 million with Toronto. So good for Chief. I text him because our good buddy Tony Sansone. I text Chief and I said, Tony and I are making a road trip to Toronto. So you know what? Good Chief, I think he's what that team needs. But saying that, they still have to make some personnel changes. You know that
they have to.
They have to.
And going around social media, you see these crazy memes and these crazy videos of the four top guys golfing, right? All the funny jokes, and you know, you have them on the golf course, Austin Matthews and Marner and Tavares, just because. What did they do? What did they do in the playoffs again? Nothing. You know, Mitch Marner again. He's got to be wondering what his fate's going to be in Toronto. I mean, there is no way that he can't be thinking that he is trade bait, knowing that this team needs to make a huge move, like you were just talking about. Getting Berube is awesome. Mm-hmm. That is the exact kind of coach that Toronto needs, a hard in your face type of coach that will accept no mediocrity, where you literally have to be accountable every time you come off the ice to Craig Berube, right? You're not going to come in here and give him shit for a bad system or not knowing what he's talking about. Craig Berube is a very smart coach. Now, how do they make those changes? They have more than 60% of their salary cap tied up in 5 or 6 players. That is not an easy situation to be in if you're a team looking to go past the first round, which they've only done once in the last 25 years.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I think, listen, I'll be honest, if I don't see any, even though I love Chief and his coaching style, I think they'll still be a very good team this year. They'll compete in the first round. Maybe they do get out of the first round. I don't know. But I think they have to get under the John Tavares contract. He's got 1 year left, and I think it's right around 9.6. Maybe it's 11. I don't even know. It's confusing between.
How do you get rid of John Tavares at 9? You
know, well, what I'm saying is he's got 1 year left. So like after this upcoming season, he's you can get rid of him. Like they've got to get rid of that contract so that they can bring in a stud defenseman. They need a Seth Jones from Chicago. They need a young stud defenseman, because I love Morgan Riley, but after that it drops off. They didn't re-sign TJ Brody a couple days ago, so he's done. They've got to improve that decor, and the only way you can really do that is you've got to get rid of that. I am not sold on getting rid of Mitch Marner. Everybody wants Mitch Marner. I think you go through another year of maybe we can't, well, we're going to make the playoffs, but maybe we can win a round.
You're not winning with them, PLZ.
I know, buddy, but my point is, listen to me, a year from now, John Tavares' contract is off the book.
John Tavares isn't going anywhere. If John Tavares wants to play, he's playing in Toronto. He's just going to have to take a major salary cut.
Oh, he's going to have to make
And by the way, you don't think, and I know John. He's a first-class guy. He's a great leader. I don't see him wanting to go anywhere else to finish his career. I mean, maybe he does try to go and sign at a big-time contender. Or does he think Toronto will have a chance if seeing how Berube does this year and seeing what kind of moves they make? Maybe he does say, I will sign for $2.5 million and play for play for a cup if we can bring in other people by using that money that I'm giving up to sign somebody good. But Mitch Marner is a 10.5, $11 million player as well. I mean, that is a lot of money to pay for a guy who has not done anything in the playoffs to help you win. I mean,
Mitch Marner's got 11 goals and 39 assists. So he's got 50 points in 57 career playoff games. Everyone always talks about Marner. What about Nylander?
Yeah, but you gotta look at how he does it though. When he scores in bunches. Like he has games where he has two or three points. He has more 0 point games than he has anything in the playoffs.
Nylander's got 43 points in 54 playoff games. So I'm not putting this all on Mitch Marner. Everybody wants to talk about Mitch Marner.
Yeah, but it's you got to start somewhere. And by the way, the top guys are the ones that get credit for winning, and the top guys have to get credit for losing. And telling you, Austin Matthews isn't off the hook either. He scored 70 in the regular season, but he's getting chopped up left and right by the media too by his lack of production.
No, I agree. But what I'm saying is, why is it Mitch Marner? Why isn't Nylander brought into this conversation? Like, why is Nylander untouchable?
Nylander has been a much better player in the playoffs than Mitch Marner.
Same stats, you know, very comparable numbers. Like, I just don't think it's all on Mitch Marner. I think Nylander's got
40. Who would you rather have? Nylander, who is a more dynamic of a player, but not more dynamic goal scorer, or Mitch Marner, who is known as a playmaker more so and not as dynamic and smaller?
The problem I have with Nylander is he dogs it. Remember last year when they were playing Tampa and the puck got dumped in deep and he pulled the brakes up because he didn't want to get in there and get hit before the defenseman? I see Nylander as a bit of a soft player. And the problem is Mitch Marner's probably a soft player. So I don't know. It's like one half dozen the other. I don't know which one I
mean. They probably can't move anybody because they have no trade contracts anyway.
Correct.
No movement
clauses, right?
Yeah, they got no move contracts. So we're probably talking and negotiating trades that don't even matter because they just don't want to go anywhere. They're not going to waive a no trade clause just to free up some money for Toronto. Not if they love it there.
Well, yesterday, Nashville, Barry Trotz traded Ryan McDonagh to Tampa, back to Tampa where he had played and won a cup there and freed up a lot of cap space. I think I read that their cap is now only like 63 or 65 million
wow.
heading into this season. And the reporter asked him, are you trying to get Mitch Marner? And he said, Mitch Marner's under contract. I have no comment on that. So
I will tell you, that's a great comment to say, because here Nashville was one of those teams, one of those sneaky teams that played very well. They played over their heads this year. And I think that surprised a lot of people of how competitive they were. Ryan O'Reilly going there really helped that team. They found a way to make the playoffs. They scared Vancouver, I think, for a little bit. If they have that much cap space and have the ability to go sign a big time free agent, who wouldn't want to go play in Nashville, in a great place to live, Tennessee, the music capital of America? It's that they have a really good setup right now in Nashville that they can take advantage of.
Well, because really at the end of the day, outside of Philip Forsberg, JR, they don't have a lot of star power up front, right? Like Philip Forsberg is their most prolific goal scorer. Adding a player like a Mitch Marner, that just brings another dynamic to that team. And who knows? Maybe Mitch says, you know what? I want to go and just play hockey and not be criticized by the media every day. I don't know. But it'll be interesting to see. Another thing happened yesterday while you were traveling. The Kings removed the interim tag off of Jim Hiller, who was the assistant coach that was promoted to the head coach when Todd McLellan got fired. Not a big surprise. I think you know what it's like here in St. Louis when Chief got fired. They brought in Drew Bannister. He had a very good record, did very well with the Blues. And I think the consensus was, okay, the Blues are retooling. They're not going to make the playoffs, or they're not going to probably win the Stanley Cup in the next couple of years. If we bring in a Todd McClellan, we bring in a Gerard Gallant, we bring in whoever, is it really going to change the team that much? Drew Bannister's worked with every young player on this team. He was the head coach in Syracuse for their AHL team for a number of years. He's been a good soldier for Doug Armstrong. Army gives him a 2-year deal as a head coach. I kind of see the same thing happening here with Hiller.
Yeah, it's just too bad. First of all, I loved Todd McClellan. He's a first class guy. He was unfortunately the damaged goods that went down for a team that just didn't want to play hard for him. So he was the collateral damage there. But that hiring doesn't do anything for me. It really doesn't. I don't know how that's going to pan out. I'm actually even more excited. I'm more excited for Ottawa getting Travis Green than I would be for thinking Hiller's going to be there in LA. And who's going to get really excited about Ottawa right now? So not me.
Do you think Travis Green's a good hire for Ottawa?
I really do.
You do?
Yeah, I really do. I played with Travis Green. I know what type of person he is. I know what type of coach he is. I mean, his record in the minors, coaching a very mediocre team to almost, almost winning championships, getting them in the playoffs, literally when their teams were injured. He was playing with East Coast League guys and was getting them to play the right way, knows how to bring a team together. Is a very fun guy to play for. I'm sure the players love Travis Green.
What was he like as a player to play? Where did you play with him?
He was very methodical. He was a penalty killer. He was very, very good in the faceoff dot. He was a great centerman, won a lot of faceoffs. He was creative, played on the second power play. So he can move. He wasn't the fastest skater in the world, but he's very smart, very intelligent hockey player. But and that's how he coaches. He has a good system, but he knows how to motivate guys by the way he talks to them and by the way he communicates. And I think that's what Ottawa is going to really enjoy about having Travis Green there is that craving to play for a coach because he puts everything into it and he's very smart.
Well, and Ottawa, they're poised to take the next step. Like we've been waiting, we've been saying this for the last 2 years. We've been saying it for the same thing with Buffalo, and Buffalo goes out and hires Lindy Ruff. I don't necessarily agree with that, but maybe, it's comfortable for them.
I don't know. I think Lindy is a good hire for that. I think you have a guy who comes into Buffalo who has a big heart for Buffalo, has a lot of history in Buffalo, knows the fans. I think that he can really, really see eye to eye with the fans. But he has a little bit more of an old school mentality. He's not the most gregarious person in the world. And I think that these players are going to have to play hard for this guy. Now, whether they make their changes in their roster is going to be very important because I think there's a few guys on that team that need to be shipped elsewhere because it's a cancer in the locker room, which literally you don't have a camaraderie in a locker room or you have someone who's kind of on their own page. It deteriorates the whole organization. I think that becomes what's wrong with Buffalo is – there's a couple of bad apples in that locker room that, when you're selfish and you play for yourself, what happens is one day you're going to be there, the next day you're not. And that's exactly how Buffalo played last year. And probably one of the worst teams at home were the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah, they were.
Now, that is inexcusable for a team that plays in front of some of the best fans in all of sports because Buffalo fans – are passionate. Every time there's a game on television, Buffalo's there. It's the best viewing audience during the regular seasons for Buffalo fans. But obviously, maybe not anymore because they've been so bad. But they are so wishy-washy in terms of showing up one day and then not showing up for the next two. It's just they decide not to even play. It's almost embarrassing. So hopefully Lindy Ruff can change that mentality of being prepared every single night.
Mr. Hurricane Rod Brind'Amour signed a 5-year deal as well yesterday. So good for Rod. It would have been, I think, reckless and a really bad business decision if Tom Dundon hadn't extended Rod Brind'Amour. Not only is he a tremendous coach, he's a tremendous ambassador for that team in that city, tremendous person. So good for Rod. I don't know if, did you play with Rod in Philly?
I didn't. Rod was gone, but I met Rod in 1988 when we went to New Jersey for the pre-NHL draft combine. And he was my roommate, and I was 150 pounds, and he was ripped like Hercules. He was ripped. I mean, this guy has been, you know, they call him Rod the Bod for a reason, right? You know, in Philly, they had to tell him he couldn't go into the gym because he was training too much. This guy is a specimen when it comes to his body and to being in shape. And he played his career like that. He epitomized leadership and, you know, just keep your mouth shut and play the game. He was a hell of a leader. He's a hell of a coach. I think if Carolina let him go, it would have been the demise of Carolina Hurricanes. I think that Hurricanes would do a drastic nosedive right to the bottom of the league without Rod Brind'Amour. He is the coach, and he is still the most popular person in hockey in Carolina because he's a true class professional.
No, I agree with you 100%. And you know what?
Probably he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame too, if you ask me.
Well, yeah, that's debatable. You and Walt should be in there first, but.
Well, it's kind of funny. It's kind of funny that there's only two 500 goal scorers that aren't in there, and they're two Americans. Who knows? It's crazy. Only two 500 goal scorers not in the Hall of Fame, but we won't talk about that.
But we'll put the Sedin sisters in. Give me a break.
Unbelievable. But I'm happy. I'm happy for Rod Brind'Amour. I think he's such a good man, and he deserves a chance to win a Stanley Cup again there in Carolina. I mean, look what he almost did again this year. They almost came back on the Rangers. It gave him a little bit of a scare. You know, it's gonna be interesting to see I can't sit here and have very much confidence on who's going to win the Stanley Cup this year. And that's what I love. That's what I love. That just shows you how great the hockey has been. Now, everywhere I go, PLZ, people are telling me how much fun it is watching the Stanley Cup playoffs this year and how fast it is and how intense it is. And it's been a lot of fun to listen to.
Where many are you right now?
I am in the place where not many people live, but more horses live. I'm in a place right outside of Osnabrück, which is northwest Germany, about 2.5 hours from Amsterdam. So this whole area is filled with cornfields, cow pastures, horse fields, horses all over the place and pig farms. So that's all you see out here. It's actually beautiful farming area around here.
The only time I've been to Germany, it was, it's got to be 10, 12 years ago. And the NHL sent me over for some preseason games, and we were in Mannheim, and they love their
hockey. That's a big city.
They love their hockey. Yeah. They played a team from Mannheim. The fans stood and cheered and waved flags the entire game. Yep. How the Europeans cheer at a hockey game. It was great. The German people couldn't have been any nicer.
Yeah, the German league is a very good league. They've spit out some really dynamite players over here into the National Hockey League. This is I played for a very short brief stint during one of the lockouts. I played for the Cologne Sharks, and I had so much fun. Dougie Waite played at Mannheim during the lockout. There's a lot of really Dennis Seidenberg, who's a good friend of mine, obviously from there. I believe Hurdle is German also. So there's a lot of great players that have coming out of this German league right now. And it's, I don't think it's on the Finnish Swedish level, but it's pretty close.
Well, listen, buddy, you have had a long day. I want to wish Brandy nothing but the best for her wedding. And I'm sure Brett's there as well, is he?
Brett's on his way. He's on a plane right now. Him and his girlfriend are on the way over now and a couple other friends. And I'm sure it's going to turn into an Oktoberfest. There's no question. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we're going to celebrate my son-in-law's father's life tomorrow. And then we're going to party like it's no tomorrow on Saturday for my daughter. So wow. I'm sure I'm going to get all choked up seeing her in her wedding gown though. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, it'll be nice for you to get your family all together over there. And I wish you nothing but the best. I hope you guys have a great day on Saturday. And I'm sure it'll be emotional, but it'll also be a very proud dad moment as well. So
absolutely. So enjoy watching some hockey at 4 o'clock my time tonight, and then throughout the weekend we'll see you on Monday for Snipes and Strikes weekend edition right here on nofilter.net. Thanks to Bet Online, our sponsor, Protected Hockey Neck Gear, and then Whiskey in the Wilds. Go to whiskeyinthewild.com, get your best and favorite chocolate whiskey. We will see you. Great job today, Peelzy, and enjoy the conference final. It's going to be one hell of a ride.
Okay, pal. Thank you to Caffeine TV, Belief TV, and NoFilter.net as well. Have a great time, buddy, and I'll talk to you on Monday. See you, pal.
All right, Peelzy. See you guys. Bye.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.